is Greg Lancaster, and I trust that you enjoy this teaching from God's Word, equipping the saints to do the work of the church to bring God's kingdom here on earth. Enjoy.
We're talking about the heart of Nehemiah, and here this ridicule of mocking spirits taking place with Sanballat, and basically anybody that's held captive by Lucifer to do his will, I mean, they're going to be used. And that's how you pretty much can tell who's held captive by how their mouth's being used. And James talks about it, says their tongue is set on fire by hell. Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," when Satan used his mouth to put doubt. And so you can tell what spirit's coming when ridicule. God's not going to ridicule. He didn't come to condemn you. He came to encourage you. And some of the biggest things to tell you right up front, to get over the shock of who's going to ridicule you, who's going to surrender their tongue. Don't, I mean, you can, if you don't, if you're, you know, your biggest test of all is seeing that it's Peter who walks with you, that it's a family member, that it's a brother in the Lord, that it's a minister, that it's the last least likely person you would ever thought would surrender their tongue. And in blindness, they speak that over you. And there's some folks, it's just like the reason why they hang around is just to continually speak that into your, and it's just like, do you realize every time you open your mouth for the last some odd years, you're saying exactly the same thing over and over and over again, and doesn't even realize the damage that they're doing. And so you got to be able to just move on despite that and realize that even though Peter was used for that moment, that he would preach one of the most awesome sermons and the thousands would get saved because he wasn't what he was being attacked with. But the mocking and the ridiculing's taking place. Everybody's beginning to build. It just got started. So many people say, man, we just got started. Why is this thing happening? Why did something break down now? And why did this go wrong now? And, you know, why is this bad press now? And it's like, hey, it's part of the journey. Mm-hmm. And understanding that, you know, don't, you know, say, don't think it's not going to happen. Just be prepared to God will give you grace to respond appropriately during it, why it's actually happening. And realize that how you handle that. And we failed at times. I mean, I failed at times how to handle it because you're just so shocked. You're just shocked in how that would happen. And so I have people around me going, don't. And I do it again. And they're like, I just can't believe this couldn't be true. Did he just punch me? Is that what's going on? Let's just do it again. No. Boom. I think the third punch, I think I'm getting there. He's a Sanballat spirit. And so if you haven't gone to the VFN TV store and gotten Rebuilding the Walls, Discerning the Spirit of Sanballat versus Nehemiah, you need to get it because you got to discern. You got to say, is this a spirit of Nehemiah? Is this a spirit of Sanballat? We have it available for you in the VFN TV store. So he's mocking. And remember that we live by faith. We walk by faith. We build by faith. The only thing that pleases the Lord is us having faith in him and his salvation and his movement and our life and him doing a work through us. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so what is the purpose of Satan's ridicule and mockery? To create doubt in you. To all of a sudden, you heard clearly, you had the vision was clear in your life. Mm-hmm. You heard when it was said to you, it was confirmed to you, it was confirmed in the one who delivered it in their life to you. I mean, it's all around you, but all of a sudden you started hanging out with people who ridicule God, who ridicule what God is doing. And you're wondering why you're filled with doubt. And you just keep on doing it. And somebody says, well, if you hang out with a mocker, you know, you're gonna suffer.
Hello.
You're gonna be broken away from the direction and the vision of God. If you hang out with one who ridicules, you'll eventually become somebody who ridicules. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just the way it works. Because it's a spirit. It is a spirit. And it's not okay, even though you're around a whole bunch of folks, maybe, that likes to do a lot of ridicule, and you're in some the ridicule choir of the first left or the first right. Well, that's even better. And so it doesn't mean it's right because everybody's doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, if this is what God would say, if everybody jumped off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff too? Mm-hmm. And so this is things they start sowing because the vision is clear. Everybody's building now. Everything's going, happening. But this is what the people who are held captive by Lucifer to do his will, Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem and the Arabs. And they're saying, what is this you're doing? What is this you're doing? Are you rebelling against authority? Are you rebelling against the king? It's so funny. It's like, are you rebellious one, you even bringing up the concept, the one who have ridiculed the king, have ridiculed everything that he's ever done, and you're going to stand up now and you're going to start saying, are you in rebellion to the king? Are you in rebellion to authority? It's like, don't even go there. Because it's amazing how Lucifer's will use the lips and tongues of others to take God's word, to twist it in a way that would stop you from rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, rebuilding the church. And understand, you got to look at their fruit. What are you doing? If you have not picked up a stone, if you had not even bought into what God is saying, if you're not even walking the walk, if you don't have any good fruit in your life, I don't care how much of the Bible you have memorized. I don't care how many times you preached or taught or what kind of big Jesus pen you got going on, all that kind of stuff. But if your fruit, Jesus said this. He said, many people are going to be like that. He said, you'll be able to discern the true folks by their fruit. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to, a true believer is not going to come against the church. You know, it's like Lecrae said, he says, you got to love her. She's the church.
That's right.
And by the way, you got to love her. She's the church. And if you get wounded by her, we were speaking recently to someone, you could tell how wounded they were by the church. I mean, it's just going to happen. Any relationship is going to be wounding. But all of a sudden they begin to repel the church. And I was like, oh, it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. You can't do a work of God while you're repelling God. Mm. You know, God loves the church. And so that's one way we realize that what spirit's of, but he's challenging them, rebelling against the king. But you remember because he did what was right and he did it the right way, he did what God said on his heart. He had the authority of the king. He had a letter with him. Mm-hmm. He was walking in agreement and had the blessing of the king because God's hand was upon him. And so that's the confidence that you can have. But if you start something in rebellion, then how are you going to have confidence? And by the way, Satan laughs at anything birthed in rebellion. But just the fact is, how are you going to defend against something such as this way, you know? And this is the response, and this is a beautiful response, because this is the original thing that happened. And you always have, don't ever forget your original call. Don't ever forget what God has said to you. And this is how he answered these guys who were ridiculing and mocking and questioning the vision and questioning, aren't you rebelling against authority here? He answered in verse 20. He said this. He says, the God of heaven will give us success. Think about that. You know, if you can't say that, it's because it's your vision. You didn't hear from God. But if God has called you to do something, you can have radical, despite everything that's going on, he's shown you what he's going to do. He's told you what he's going to do. So you can hold fast and believe in that when everything just looks, you know, you haven't even picked up the first stone yet. You're being ridiculed. You're being mocked. You know, you're being threatened. You're being lied on. Things are being twisted, you know, and all this is going on because God did, if he did call you and he did show you and he did tell you, and he's the hand of the Lord was upon you and he's the one that put this in your heart to do, you can do it with all your might and you can proclaim to everyone, every doubter, every naysayer, you can say, listen, the God of heaven will give us success. And that's what you know, if you're starting to doubt what God has already told you to do and you shared it with those who have a vision and they bought into what God is saying and they're doing it and you're all terrified because of Sanballat, how are they going to believe when you don't even believe what you're preaching? You preach for 2 hours and go sit in a coffee shop and speak all this doubt and unbelief and fear and mockery and all that instead of saying, well, who is this man? Who is this woman? And it's like, you can proclaim, think about it. The God of the universe spoke to you, gave you a vision. He said, this is what I want. You know, come heck or high water, come furnaces or not furnaces, come death or come life. Listen, to be absent for this body is to be present with God, but God has called you to a plan. He said, I want you to rebuild the walls, Nehemiah. This is what I want you to do. And so despite all of this attack against him, he said, listen, the God of heaven who has his hand on me, saying, who's called me, who's put this in my heart, because this wouldn't have been in my heart, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. In other words, they didn't let it get in their way. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem, any claim or historical right to it. And that's what we need to stand for Israel today and say, listen, this land belongs to the Jews.
That's right.
Don't go divide the land. Dear God, stop America from being involved in pushing them, as Secretary Kerry said, by spring, to be able to have
a new peace deal
over there with dividing the land. Listen, this land belongs to Jerusalem, and understand the land of the church, the kingdom of God, does not belong to an unbeliever. It doesn't belong to people who have a great talent. It belongs only to those who made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. And you have to tell folks, you can be in the family. But you got to make a decision. The inheritance will only come through Jesus Christ. If not, if you choose not to follow Jesus and make him the Lord of your life, you have no part, you have no claim, you have no historical right, and you have no share in this work called the kingdom of God. We are focusing on the heart of Nehemiah. Mm. We've been focusing on the heart of Nehemiah, and we're just saying, you know, Lord, speak to us. You know, speak to us as, you know, what are you saying? Because the heart of Nehemiah, when you see that everything that was written in the Word of God was written to encourage us and to inspire us and to bring us into the will of the Lord, you see, start seeing, my goodness, the heart of Nehemiah. And when you see he's rebuilding the walls and they're built from burnt stones, and we're like living stones, he talks about in Peter, being built together into a holy house, and we're a holy priesthood, and God dwells inside of us, that, my goodness, this is a picture of the church, the whole body of Christ coming together, of the Messiah coming together and being built. The gates represent authority, and it was just amazing. And so we're seeing, you know, the heart of Nehemiah really is the secret to rebuilding the church in America. Because people say, well, it's totally fine. Well, if you haven't noticed our history that's been undealt with and things that have been done in the name of Jesus Christ in this nation is an atrocity. Hmm. Some of the things, not everything, but some of the things that have been done, and we have not said that's not right. Hmm. We have not said that's not Jesus. You know, more so, I think the things that have been said was, well, they were just a little misguided. It was a sign of their culture and their time. They were a product of their environment. Hey, you're either serving Lucifer or you're serving Jesus Christ. You can't serve them both, right?
That's right. Pick one.
And so there's so much damage been done to the cause of Christ. And a lot of great things have come out of America. I'm not saying that. But there's so, when we're talking about reaching all of us in America, all the ethnos, all of us in the country here, then we need to think about, what have we done to our brothers? What have we done to our sisters in the cause of Christ? I'm talking about the church in America. I'm not talking about, you know, America in general. But just, what have we done? And so there is things, just like Nehemiah, that we have to repent for. We have to repent for our sins and the sins of our fathers. And repentance means we're going to validate our reality. We're going to acknowledge it. And we're going to do whatever it takes to make it right. And that's it. That's what you have to do.
All you can do
in the context of that. And if that's a Christian believer, then they are going to say, before the eyes of God, to be right in the Lord. If it was done right, thank you for saying my reality is real. And there's a reason why things are the way they are. And you validated reality, that you're willing to rewrite the history here, to write it like it's supposed to be. And to ask for forgiveness, and understanding that you have to forgive. If you don't forgive, then if you don't forgive your brother, God says, I'm not going to forgive you. And so, you know, by God's grace, that forgiveness would be sought, and forgiveness would be given, and healing would come from God. I mean, think how this is powerful. Mm-hmm. And so we're going, we just walked right out of, you know, Nehemiah chapter 2. We're going right into Nehemiah chapter 3. And I'll just tell you right up front, you know, you can read through Nehemiah chapter 3, but what's happening here, they're doing it. The interesting thing about it, though, they're doing it in regions. They're doing it near their homes. They're doing it near their sphere of influences. I mean, Nehemiah heard from the Lord a strategy, and the vision was, you know, build by your sphere of influence. Begin to rebuild people. No, don't build another stucco building. Yours is fine. I'm not saying nothing's wrong with your stucco building. We're talking about the people in the building. We're talking about the people around your community there that are the believers. We're talking about, you know, don't build a wing on a building. Hmm. Fix the wing on the man that can't fly no more. You know what I'm saying? And so he can fly or she can fly. And so then it's not for you to do everything, but it's the vision empowers us all from God for all of us to get busy and start working around our sphere of influence. And so he assigned them the parts of the wall near their houses and homes, and eventually even their homes to rebuild. There was a progression to development. We're in a generation that says, you know, everything has to be the now. It's like, well, it's not going to happen that way. You can plant a seed and scream at the dirt all you want to, but you're going to have to wait for it to grow and That's develop right. and the blade, the stem, the wheat and the kernel and all that, the process, the beating of it, grinding of it, the baking of it. And then you have a slice of bread.
Mm. Yep.
It doesn't all come through the Burger King drive-through window. And so there's process to everything, and there's process protocol, and we're looking at the heart of Nehemiah here, and we're just learning, my goodness. And so you can read over that, and that's how you did it in chapter 3. So, which means this, that, again, you're not watching everybody do this. You're taking responsibility in your sphere of influence, you know, where God has placed you in your neighborhood, in your community, you know, where your church gather is at, you know, that type of influence. And there you're supposed to build people, not buildings. People are the building of God. Now, if the people that you're building need shelter, build them great shelter. Doesn't matter. They need places to get out of the rain and temperature to be controlled and, you know, nice places to sit. Ever how you treat Jesus, how to treat them, you're treating Jesus. I think it's fine. But it's not the tail wagging the dog. It's the dog wagging the tail. Mm-hmm. That they're what's important. The people are what's important. And you'll be surprised how freeing that is for a lot of folks, because a lot of people begin to serve the building instead of serve the people. And if you don't serve the people, you're not really serving the building of God. And then next thing you know, you're in a rut, mm-hmm. which is a grave with both ends kicked out. Mm-hmm. And so you're going in to Nehemiah chapter 4 here, and this is they're building, everybody's working, everybody's got their assignments. They already dealt with Sanballat twice, you know, and he began to ridicule and doubt, and he said, listen, the Lord's going to give us success, Nehemiah said. So you're thinking it's totally over, because they almost stopped them. The vision was cast, and as soon as it was cast, before they put their hand on the first piece of building material, the enemy came in and tried to stop them, and Nehemiah encouraged them in the Lord and spoke to the enemy and declared they had no part of it, and began to build. And chapter 3 was like, they're building all the assignments that I just talked about. So you think about it, this is great. It's going to happen now. I can see it. It's totally wonderful. I mean, we got revival. It's going to last forever. It'll never stop. Right. Everything's going to have this outpouring. Will never stop. We're going to camp forever. I mean, this thing is going to go on forever, forever. I mean, we've already dealt with Sanballat twice. It'll never happen again. Mm-hmm. Because we're building. I mean, we can see it now. It's coming together. That's the mindsets, right? Mm-hmm, right. People start wearing a pin. I am proud of my church. I love my building. I love, you know, right? So it's like, right. Don't you remember? This is, you know, I love God. Right. I love God.
He's what remains.
Yeah, he's what remains. And so then 4 comes, and guess what happens? Guess what happens? Because now, I mean, Sanballat and these Arabs that were there and all the ones that were against the Jews doing anything positive for themselves or for Israel, that they were upset when they just heard about the idea. They were upset when they just heard, who is these doing something nice for Israel? Who is this? Who is this talking about repentance in our city? Who is this talking about a third great awakening? Just the hearing of it ticked them off. Mm-hmm. And now the vision got cast. It's like, oh my goodness, they got a plan. They got a plan, and people are understanding it. They're seeing where they fit in the vision. They're seeing how they can function. Very dangerous thing to Lucifer, because he knows he even learned this at the Tower of Babel. If you can get some people to agree on it, it's going to happen, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And so in the context of this, they cast a vision, and everybody got an agreement. And they said, let's build. And immediately, again, Lucifer comes in with his puppets, Sanballat and all the crew, the ridiculers and the mockers, and starts attacking it there before they even started working yet. But now they're working. I mean, who could stop it now, right? Oh, I mean, man. It's happening. I mean, it's, you know, revival forever, you know, and outpouring forever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hold on a moment. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1, here comes Sanballat again. Like, don't you have something to do? is your whole life, what is your purpose,
don't
San?
You have a job?
San. We'll call him San.
That's San.
He's the Horror Knight. We call him the Horror. We just call him Sand.
All right.
Irritation. You think about San. Well, you think about San. San's irritation. Sandpaper. You think about San has no unity. San is always, you could put it in an hourglass and it will not stick together. It is a disunified spirit. It wants to bring division and discord and all that. I know that when I was talking to Ian Skelly's parents, who used to be missionaries in a particular country, I want to say it because they might go back. They said that everybody's like sand there. There is no unity. And that's the goal of Lucifer. The goal of Lucifer is to get you so paranoid and divided from your neighbor that nobody connects with anybody. No unity. So he hates for us to come together and get clarity of vision and go somewhere, because he knows that we're going to accomplish the work. But understand, he's going to come in and still attack it. Because here he comes again. And he says this in verse 1 in chapter 4. He says, when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the walls, because now they're doing it now, he became angry. He became angry and greatly incensed. It's like, what is up with you?
All right.
You think about it, right?
Yeah.
What? You know why? Because Satan has them held captive to do his will. And what they're formulating is the heart of Lucifer saying, I hate you for doing good things. I hate you for following God. I hate you for listening to the prophet and buying into the apostolic vision and beginning to build what God, I hate you. I am angry and I'm greatly incensed. Right? That's what he's saying. We're going to talk more about this because just relax, because it's probably happened to you. If you've heard from the Lord and you're thinking things are going great now, everything's going good, everybody's doing what God has said, and you're watching things come happen. Now, here comes all of a sudden Lucifer's puppet, San himself, you know, was it Satan, yeah, Sanballat coming in there, and his goal is to totally disunify. He might even send you a few likes on the Facebook. What are you doing? You know, stay away from the work of God. We're continuing our conversation about the heart of Nehemiah, the secret to rebuilding the church in America. And we're noticing that the Sanballat figure keeps on showing up. Mm. We talk about the attributes of Sam, but what did he say? I mean, what is Lucifer saying to this man, these men's mouths? And this is what he's saying. He began, and remember, it's that you operate and you live by and you walk by the very pleasing factor of your life called faith. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. It's confidence. You don't throw away your confidence, for it will be richly rewarded. Don't be like those who threw away their confidence and were destroyed. Be like those who remain confident in what God has said. But that's said because the enemy comes in and tries to sow doubt in your life. Mm-hmm. He's going to try to get you to doubt the original. That's why you have to write down the vision and make it plain. That's why you got to have a shelf of remembrance that we talk about. You know, put things up, take pictures, get stuff that reminds you. You know, Abraham built altars that would remind him of the things that God would say. So they would say in the future, your children will say, what is this? And you're going to be able to say, oh, this is what God said. And you got to don't think that you're so smart that you're going to remember everything, because Sanballat is going to cause every thought in your head just to disintegrate. Mm. And you'll have to grasp or trying to remember, well, I know something happened. I just can't tell you right now.
I can so visualize that. Like, I think I've experienced that.
Yeah. Where's my shelf of remembrance? I'm going to go stare for a while. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go stare for a while. And so in the context of that, so what is he saying? So that if you live by faith and walk by faith, then God responds by faith, not pain, poverty, sickness, or disease, or oppression. He responds because you believe that he can do it. He said this. This is what can happen. So the enemy's going to come in and cause you to doubt that. And so what he's saying here, what Sand is saying, Sanballat, is what are these feeble Jews doing? Mm. All of a sudden, they'll begin to focus on your inadequacies. Focus on your inabilities. Focus on your lack of education, or your lack of ability to build, your lack of administrative giftings, or your lack of ability to speak. I mean, these ridicule folks told T.D. Jakes that he couldn't speak, he couldn't write. He told him all these negative things, wow. You know. And he's, it was Sanballat telling him that. And so. But you have to understand, don't sit here and entertain that conversation. If you're sitting back and Sanballat, spirit comes up to you and the mouth is held captive and says, you know, who are you and your feebleness trying to do this? And you start responding back to him like Eve did. And you start talking, yeah, I am kind of feeble and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you're going down. I mean, you're going to be eating apples and shoving them in Adam's mouth. I mean, it's going to happen.
Wow.
So, and you watch folks, you say, oh, you've been listening to this and about it. How can you tell? Because your face is dragging on the ground right now. You know, he said, listen to me. Nothing has changed. You just got the wrong counsel. You got Sanballat counsel. Mm-hmm. You got sand in your ears. And so then he begins to. So then, first of all, he's talking about your feebleness, your inability physically to be able to do this thing. And right up front, if you take the right approach right up front, you've already defeated that. Because if you're moving in pride, you're about to go down, because you're going to take pride in your strength versus the fact is, you know, what were you when you were first called? Don't you know that God uses the things that are not to nullify the things that are? The weak things to shame the strong? Think about it. So if your testimony does not already say that you're feeble outside of God, that your success only is in God, you've already messed up because you built on a lie.
That's right.
Because the truth is that when somebody calls you feeble and unable, you would say, yes, in my own strength I am, but I am in touch with a God who will do it through me. Mm. Nehemiah's faith was not in himself. His faith was in his God who called him and told him what he was going to do. But if you and that's where insecure people begin to throw, you know, the stuff out there, like they have some great talent or great ability and they envy other people who they perceive have talents when it's like, no, we are all the same, man. Mm-hmm. We're all need God. And it's the Lord that's empowering folks to be able to do something. So the first thing that doubt gets sown in is your physical capabilities to be able to do this. I mean, think about it. Abraham and Sarah, you know, unable, physically unable to do what God said was going to happen. But he was unshaken. He did not waver in his faith. He was fully convinced that God was able to do what he said he was going to do. Think about that. And when he physically couldn't do it, she physically couldn't do it, God did it through them, and he became the father of many nations. This is the father of faith. Mm-hmm. And so this is what pleases God. And so this is wonderful when Sambal is agreeing with your physical reality, but they cannot confront your spiritual reality because God is with you. Mm. But if you start hanging on your strength and start talking about, well, no, really, you know, I can bench, you know, 200 pounds. And I got a bachelor's degree in this, and right, you're dying by degrees, as Brother Kim used to say. And it's different instead of saying, you know, you're right, but God, mm-hmm, you know, but God. And the second thing he says, will they restore these walls? Okay, now the attack came on you personally. The second thing he's going to talk about the vision. He's like, is that really going to happen? I mean, come on. Come on, that just can't happen. There's no way that can happen. And they start putting doubt on the fact of, you know, will they accomplish this vision? And see, they're sowing doubt, physical doubt, vision doubt. Will this happen? And why Satan's trying to get you to get into his faith, and his faith is doubt to bring to pass his will in your life. And ours is confidence in what God has said to us. And we can boldly proclaim and stand before God and trust him in what he said. The thing about it is you have all these folks right there, and every one of them is not Nehemiah. You got to find out who Nehemiah is, who she is, or who he is, and you got to connect with the vision of God. You know, I think it was Dr. Brown that would say, if you want to do something for God, find out what he's doing and dive in, right?
Mm-hmm. Actually, it was Larry Thomas.
What did he say? Say it again.
He said, find out whatever God's doing in your generation and throw yourself 100% into it. Yeah. Dive in.
And that's the key. I mean, you know, if you're not Nehemiah, you know, repent from the pride of wanting to be one. Realize whoever that she or he is, you know, whatever God, what reason why God did what he did. And then just throw yourself in, mm-hmm, and understand it's going to take all of us to follow God, and everybody gets the same reward, you know, going before the throne of God.
Right.
And then he starts doubting the fact, you know, the vision. And then he says, the next doubt he puts in there says, will they offer sacrifices? This is really, really, really scary to Lucifer, because he wants the money. Mm. He's thinking that he's about to lose the stuff and the things, because sacrifice meant they're going to take things that are theirs, and they're going to lay it down before God, and which means he's not going to get it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The offerings and the tithes and the lamb and the bread, and I mean, all of a sudden they're going to lose increase. They're going to lose the local blacksmith's going to lose people buying his little statue, Diane or whatever it was. Right. You know, they're worried about money. They're worried about money, and so they're thinking like, you know, are we going to start and think about the people that's buying into his darkness? They're going like, yeah, we are going to lose business. I mean, they're going to start honoring God with the tithes and offerings, right? They're going to break out of that 97% that's not, and they're going to join the 3% is going to go up to 3.5%, and they're going to start, and we're going to lose stuff here. And they think about it. So they start talking about it. And so they're trying to create more fear and all that aspect of it. And then it ain't over there. Then he starts sowing more doubt. And I'm talking about the heart of Nehemiah, how we have to deal with this. And he says, will they finish it in a day? Mm-hmm. Then they start talking about how long it's taking you. They start talking about the time frame. They start measuring things. Don't let people put rulers on you. This is not your plan. This is God's plan. It could take, you know, this is what Joseph was told by God. You will go in and you will come out. But let me tell you what came out. It was his bones. Mm. And they did come out. Mm-hmm. So you don't know the time frames of God. You don't know that aspect of it. All you know is that God has called you to do something, and you're part of what God's doing in this bigger story called creation, and how he's making himself known and bringing glory to himself and his son in the context of this. And so they begin to question the time frame. Look how long it's, I mean, it's like, reminds me again, Rick Joyner in Torture of the Sword, he's talking about time.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on, will you just get it? You know, it's just a days of 1,000 years and 1,000 years of a day. And don't even worry about it. Just work. Mm. Mm-hmm. Know the vision, work within the vision, and work. You know, somebody's talking to me recently. They said, you know, what should I pray about? What should I pray about? I'm like, the vision. The vision. What God has said. And it's like, well, what is that? I'm like, oh, are you, what? And then my ultimate statement is like, you need to find out where God has called you mm-hmm. and what he's called you to do. And there you need to be. Because you're not a part of anything mm-hmm. if you are a part of something in the context of that. What is God doing? I mean, you could be the Nehemiah, I don't know. But just, you know, if you don't even know, that's not good. Because people without a vision perish. They're destroyed for a lack of knowledge, God's focus. So you have to find out. There's a lot of people who act like they're Nehemiah in the reality that they know they're not. But yet they operate in the as if they're leading something, but they're not. And they lead a lot of folks astray. And all of a sudden you have these sand Nehemiah things going all over the place and the context of that. And then finally he says, can they bring, and this is so important, this is what I end with, can they bring the stones back to life? Mm. I mean, think about that. We're talking about stones here. Can they bring the stones back to life from these heaps of rubbles and burned as they are? And how many people today have you been burned? How many people have been so hurt by the abuse and the things in the church and the things that the Sanballats have done, and you're just burned. You're just burned. And it makes me think of 1 Peter 2:5. He says, and you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. Understand, the answer is yes. Yes. The house of God is being built. It's being built not by human hands. It's being built with folks, with people that he loves. For we are like living stones being built together in a royal priesthood. Yes, Sanballat, what God has said will come to pass. These walls will be built by the power of God. We're going to continue talking more about the heart of Nehemiah, and this is just really exciting. Just really see the secret to rebuilding the church back to a place of strength and authority and protection that God's called it to be in America again.
If you haven't yet met Father God through his son, Jesus Christ, let me introduce you to him at meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. For more teachings like this from myself, Greg Lancaster, and others, go to VFNTV.com. You can also download the VFN TV app by searching your mobile phone app store or by going to VFNTV.com. And you'll be able to join us at VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program where we're seeking to educate ourselves on what is taking place in today's world, to illuminate it with God's perspective from his word, and inspire you in your daily walk with the Lord and to activate you in your destiny with God that he's called you to. For more information, go to VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program is brought to you by our partners of Greg Lancaster Ministries at greglancasterministries.org.